Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So for most of my life, I have loved to read books that fall into a literary genre that's often called the hero's quest. Whether you recognize that name or not, you probably know some of the stories I'm talking about. A character that seems in every possible way ordinary sets out upon, or sometimes is forced into, a quest or adventure, and along the way overcomes significant challenges to eventually reach a particular goal, attain an amazing prize, or prevail over the forces of evil. Like I said, whether you recognize the name of that genre or not, you've probably read some of the books that fall into the hero's quest category, as they're very popular with pretty much every age. In children's literature, C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia are a classic example. When it comes to young adult fiction, the choices are many. The Harry Potter series and the Hunger Games trilogy, for instance, come immediately to mind. And whether it's J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings or George R.R. Martin's Game of Thrones, adults have plenty of quest novels to choose from as well. And it's not just fiction. Many historical biographies, whether of Alexander Hamilton or Amelia Earhart or Abraham Lincoln, also outline the contours of a significant historical character's life in the terms of a quest. I love quest stories for a lot of reasons. For instance, their plots are almost always filled with unexpected twists and turns. But the main reason is probably that whatever the external adventure, the key characters are also on an inward quest as well, discovering what they're capable of, and even more, who they are as they face the external challenges in front of them. Typically, in these stories, there are three crucial moments in the quest. The first is when the main character, who appears, as I mentioned, ordinary in every way, discovers that he or she has been called to something extraordinary. When Harry discovers he's a wizard, when Katniss volunteers to save her sister, or when Frodo realizes that he holds the Ring of Power in his hand. These are examples of that first crucial element in a quest story. Whatever their past, whatever assumptions they've made about themselves, they suddenly realize that they have been drawn into a much bigger story and discover that they've been called into and equipped for a significant endeavor, a hero's quest. The second key moment is when the main character meets significant opposition for the first time. Challenges will come the hero's way throughout the story, but the first major obstacle is something of a test, or really a moment of truth, when the main character realizes that she's up to the challenge, or discovers that she's capable of far more than anyone had imagined. In today's story from the book of Acts, we've just witnessed an example of that second key element in a hero's quest. Let me back up just a moment and explain a little more. I think St. Luke has crafted his story very much as a quest narrative. We call his story of the church, of the growth of the early church, the Acts of the Apostles. But when you stop to think about it, we just as easily could have called it the Adventures of the Apostles. Because that's pretty much what they have, a series of challenges and adventures as they attempt to fulfill Jesus' command and live into his promise that they will be his witnesses to the very ends of the earth. As with other quest narratives, the lead characters in the story, in this case, Jesus' own disciples, do not present themselves initially as hero material. They're ordinary fishermen from a backwater town named Capernaum. Not only that, but throughout Luke's gospel, the disciples regularly fell short of Jesus' expectations. They often doubted what he taught them, and they failed him in his moment of greatest need. And then comes Pentecost, the story we read in church 2 weeks ago, when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples like tongues of flame, and they go out into Jerusalem and preach, and people can hear them in whatever language they speak. In that moment, the disciples realize that they have been called to something far greater than they'd imagined, and that they've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to help them accomplish their task. That's the first crucial element of their quest story. Today's reading is the second element in their adventure as Peter and John are hauled before the council and ordered in no uncertain terms and under threat of punishment to stop talking about Jesus. But they won't stop. Indeed, they say they can't stop because they've been caught up in God's great adventure to love, save, and bless the whole world. And so rather than stop preaching, these ordinary fishermen who just weeks earlier had let Jesus down are now defying the authorities and proclaiming the good news of Christ with boldness. It's an inspiring story. Well, I mentioned earlier that there are usually three key moments in the hero's quest. The first is when they realize they've been called to something incredible. The second is that moment of truth when they overcome a significant challenge. And the third is the final test, the final challenge, when they finally obtain their goal, reach the end of their quest, or defeat the forces of evil. Interestingly, St. Luke doesn't tell us that part of the story. Across Acts, as we'll see throughout the summer, we'll hear of the disciples' challenges and setbacks. We'll experience unexpected plot twists, and we'll watch as they continue to develop their faith and confidence. But we won't ever see them reach their final goal. Why? Because the Acts of the Apostles, as it turns out, is no ordinary quest story. St. Luke, you see, knows that this story isn't over yet. He's writing just the beginning, chronicling the early years of the church and the initial adventures of the disciples, but he knows this story will continue. And it has, right up to this very day. Because of the bold testimony of Peter and John, more and more people came to believe, and they told others who also told others, and they shared this good news with their children and grandchildren who did the same. And slowly but surely, this tiny movement that started out as just a couple dozen people who believed that God was at work to save the world through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, this tiny movement keeps growing and spreading across the globe and down the centuries until it reaches out and gathers us up in it, right here, right now, even today. That's right, the story that St. Luke starts is now your story. Think about it. The Bible that we read each week in church begins at the very beginning of creation in Genesis and doesn't end until the very end of all things in Revelation, which means that you and I lead our lives somewhere between the Acts of the Apostles and Revelation, which means that you, too, have been called to a hero's quest. It doesn't matter what age you are or what stage of life you may be in, God is calling you into an adventure. I know that can feel rather daunting. You may feel rather ordinary. You may doubt that you are made of heroic material. You may seriously wonder what God could possibly want from you here and now. But nevertheless, Scripture testifies that you have been called to something more significant and important than you had ever imagined. I don't know what that quest is. Perhaps you don't either. Maybe it's simply to be a good friend or partner to someone who needs one just now. Maybe it's to be a loving parent or supportive grandparent with all the sacrifices that demands in a day and age that doesn't value sacrifice. Maybe it's to do good and honest work just because it's the right thing to do. Maybe it's to fight for human rights or to stand up for people who can't stand up for themselves. Maybe it's to help solve one of the world's great challenges or discover a cure to some dread disease. Or maybe it's just to remain positive and hopeful and keep working toward meaningful compromise when so many seem to be cynical or overly partisan. Maybe it's, and that is just the thing about the quests God gives us. We often don't know quite what they are until we've been drawn well into them. But whatever your quest may be, I do know that you will face challenges. Times when you aren't sure you are up to God's call, moments when you doubt your abilities or your courage or your faith. At those moments, remember that in your baptism, God gave you the same Holy Spirit that God sent Peter and John at Pentecost. And in baptism, God made you the same promise to be with you and for you always, no matter what may come. In fact, in baptism, God promised to call you to and equip you for a life of meaning, purpose, sacrifice, and service. Yesterday morning, I had the privilege of baptizing a beautiful baby girl right here at this font. In our church, after baptizing a child in water and God's promises, we say these words, "And now we pray, O God, that you would sustain." Yesterday, it was little Alma's name that I read, but at some point, it was also yours. "That you would sustain us with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, now and forever." Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, joy. These are the gifts that you have been given and now are called to use. So what are you waiting for? In just a moment, we'll sing one last hymn, say the prayer taught us by our Lord, and receive God's blessing once again, and then it will be time to get out of here, to go forth in boldness. For you, too, have been called to a hero's quest, called, equipped, and blessed by Almighty God to love those around you. And that is good news, because this world has never needed you more. Thanks be to God. Amen.